Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. It's Joanna. I hope that you're all doing really well. I hope that you had a really nice weekend. And I'm so happy to be here with all of you today for our second class of Catalyzing Breakthroughs. We're going to start class today with a little bit of a grounding, a visualization, a meditation, just for 2 or 3 minutes to help us get grounded. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. And if you're somewhere where you don't feel comfortable closing your eyes, I call them the shades of your eyes. So, you know, when you keep your eyes open, but you kind of go inward, right? So whatever is going to work best for you. And with your eyes closed or the shades of your eyes closed, give yourself the gift of settling into this moment right here, right now. Collecting all the parts of yourself and bringing them home to you. We oftentimes, as we move through our days, leave little parts of ourselves in places, right? So just collect all of those parts, call them home. As you begin to focus on your breath, inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, take in exactly what you need to take in right now. And as you exhale, let go. Let go of what's not needed. Inhaling, opening up to receive and take in exactly what you need. Exhale, letting go. Whatever is not necessary, just let it go. Using the breath to connect deeply with your body. Using the breath to connect deeply with the wisdom that is always stored in your body, that you have access to in every moment of every day. And you don't need to do anything to access that wisdom or to connect with your body. Just be with it. And as you breathe, I invite you to sense into your body and see where inside of yourself are you holding your inner wisdom today, like a big amount of your inner wisdom. Where is that in your body today? Is it in your throat, in your belly, in your heart, in your lower back? You don't need to overthink it. Just find the place in your body that you feel called to. And begin to bring breath to that place in your body where your inner wisdom is holding itself today. And as you connect into that part in your body, to that place of your body where you're holding a lot of your inner wisdom, wherever it is, I invite you to ask that part of you, what's most important for you to know today? Just connect in. Ask yourself, what's most important for you to know today? Maybe it will tell you something about your work, your self-care, something else, whatever it is, just be open. Just ask yourself, what is it that I need to know today? Good. And with that, we'll all take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, hopefully feeling focused and present and refreshed and ready and open for our call today. I've got a lot to share with you today. Before we get there, just two housekeeping pieces. So the first is, I think we're almost all finally in the Facebook group. Yay! We got there. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. And I just want to remind you that Facebook is there for you. You can use it however you want. If you're not a Facebook person, you know, you may not use it as much. But if you want to connect with me or have any questions for me in between our sessions, that is the place to do it, to post takeaways, to connect with each other. There's incredible people in this training. So I hope that you will also connect with each other. But again, just want to remind you, the group is there for you to get what you need in between our sessions. And I am really, for those of you that have done work with me before, you know I am always ready, willing, and able to answer any questions to support you in any way that I can. So that's just a reminder. I'll also start doing some Facebook Lives in there, too, and give you some extra content. I posted a couple little extra things this week, but I'll start with the Facebook Lives this week as well. I'll give you some supplemental content and material if you want it. And then the other piece I just wanted to mention is I think everybody that wanted a partner is partnered up right now, a coaching partner. Please let us know if you're still looking for a coaching partner, and I'll be giving the first partner assignment this week at the end of our call. All right. So today, the topic of our call today, we're going to start moving into our deep listening skills module, which is one of the most important foundational components for catalyzing breakthroughs and for stellar, exquisite coaching. We're going to get into all of that in a few minutes, but before we do that, there's a piece that I didn't get to last week in our exploration of energetics, and it's a really important piece when it comes to the energetics of the coaching relationship. And so I want us to take a few minutes to look at it together right now. So one of the things that really is needed to create a strong coaching relationship, and we looked at a lot of those pieces last week, but one of the things that we didn't look at that's really needed to create a strong coaching relationship, and by the way, to also create strong marketing, strong business practices, strong teams, you know, anything in your business as well, is that you must have a strong container. And particularly in your client work, you want to have a strong coaching or client container. Okay, so what is a container? Every client relationship that you have, and for that matter, any session that you have, any retreat that you lead, workshop you lead, class that you teach, needs to have what I like to call a container. It's not a container that you see necessarily, but nonetheless, it's very real. The coaching or client container literally holds the work that you do with your clients together. It helps you and your client come together as a unified whole. It helps you both stay engaged, and it also helps so that the both of you don't physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually drift off and disconnect. Containers keep your clients connected to you during sessions and in between sessions without you having to work so hard to make that happen. Tight containers create a sense of trust and allow clients to be fully present, to engage, to be vulnerable. Tight containers create the environment for being able to catalyze breakthroughs and for the highest level of transformation and results. Transformation and results and breakthroughs happen when energy is transformed. I'm going to say that again. It's important. Transformation and results and breakthroughs happen when energy is transformed. And you can't transform energy if you don't have a tight container to transform it in. So I know I'm speaking really theoretically right now, and I'm going to get to actual concrete details, I promise. But just theoretically, for one more moment, you can think of it this way. I find that this image really helps. So think of, especially when I talk about transformation and breakthroughs happen when energy is transformed and you need a container in order to transform energy. So I want you to think of a glass of water, right? You may even have one on your desk right now. So think of a glass of water. The glass is the container, and the water or the liquid is the energy. If you want to transform the energy in this image, that would be the liquid, right? If you want to move the energy, make it do something different, you can swirl the cup around. And because there's a container around the energy, around the liquid, it swirls around. It transforms. If we didn't have the cup, there's no way that you could move the energy, transform the energy, shift the energy, grow the energy, right? And if you had the cup but there were holes in the cup, that also wouldn't work either. So that's what I mean by a coaching container. And I'll tell you how to create one in a moment, but it's so vital to have that container, no matter what kind of work that you do with clients. Now, many practitioners don't know how to create strong containers. They actually don't even know that they're supposed to create strong containers. And so instead, their containers are leaky. So what's a leaky container? Again, think about holes in that cup, right? All of the energy would just spill out. Leaky containers yield energy leaks with your client work, yields disengagement, confusion, sessions falling flat, miscommunication, all of that. So how do you create a strong coaching container or client container? Well, first of all, think back to everything we spoke about last week. Whenever you are equalizing the playing field, you're strengthening the container. So that's one way. The second way to create a strong client container is you, before a session, you want to prepare yourself to hold the container, right? Start paving the way beforehand. I like to visualize my clients to really see us connecting deeply, to see myself holding the space for my clients. And then the next way that you want to create strong client containers, you want to set really clear ground rules and protocols for your work together. Set clear ground rules and protocols for your work together, because an ounce of pre-framing prevents a pound of reframing. I want to say that again because it's pure gold. An ounce of pre-framing through setting agreements correctly and clearly can masterfully prevent a pound of later on having to fight against the tide, course correct, and reframe, right? So we've probably all been in the situation where we've maybe been a client or a student and the practitioner hasn't correctly or properly set agreements, set ground rules, set protocols, and then the container is leaky. It's like we're confused, we don't really know what's going on, we don't know how to get the most out of the work that we're doing together, we're not, you know, sure, can I email this person, can't I email this person, you know, how does this work, right? So I'll just give an example. I recently, in the early autumn, actually it was a late summer, I signed up for a group program, and it was someone who I knew was great at what she does. I wanted to learn more about how to get publicity, like be in papers and podcasts and things like that. It was a group program, and I knew the content was going to be great. I registered for the program, and I did get an email that said, you know, congratulations, you're in, but that was it. Nothing else. I didn't get a schedule of calls, so I didn't know exactly when we were meeting. I didn't get, this is how we're meeting. Is it over the phone? Is it on video? I didn't get a list of the specific topics that were going to be covered. There were different types of calls in the program, but I didn't get instruction on that. And so I felt really like, what's going on here? You know, how am I supposed to kind of sink my teeth into this program and get what I need? And I'll just share with you, because of the confusion, they eventually sent the schedule of calls, but because of all of the confusion and not knowing topics and not knowing how the calls were going to go, I didn't even end up listening in to the first call until 6 weeks later. Like, I still haven't really leveraged the content of the call because I was never really brought into the container, right? I wasn't really held. Because of the, there weren't those clear agreements that were set. So this is important in group work, right? You guys, now that I'm talking about it, I'm sure you guys can see I did this last week. I went through, these are, you know, the best ways to use this program. This is how we're going to do it. This is how you can get in touch with me. And, of course, I sent a lot of that information to you via email beforehand, right? So this is important for groups, but it's also important for one-on-one work as well. There are things that in your mind as the practitioner you may think are crystal clear, but you need to really make them clear to your clients and really set those agreements so that they can feel that there is a tight, snug container that's really holding them and guiding them through the work and the transformation that's going to happen. So some of the things that you really want to think about, and I'm sure many of you already are, but you know, just to kind of plant some deeper seeds here, you want to be clear with people from the get-go, how long are the sessions? You want to be clear on how you're going to be connecting. Is it in person? If it's in person, what is the address? If it's on the phone, what is the phone number? Is it video? You know, all of the things. You want to be clear on what are your responsibilities as the practitioner, and then what are the client's responsibilities, right? For you, it might be about confidentiality or, you know, whatever it is. You want to lay out all of those pieces, and then you want to lay out for your client what are their responsibilities. You want to be clear about scheduling and how to get scheduled, and then how people can reschedule. What's the protocol for rescheduling? You want to be clear about payment, when payment is made, how payment is made, all of those things, right? And at least in coaching, all of that is kind of sealed in one-on-one work with a contract, right? That's all written out. So if you are coaching or, you know, practicing, I know, you know, for some of you are therapists and a contract may not be appropriate, but for anything else, you know, if you're doing multiple sessions, you really want to have some kind of contract. And if it's not appropriate in your field to have a contract, at least have a paper with all the written responsibilities and agreements, you know, all of the things. I'll also share that as part of the container, one of the things that I do in one-on-one work that really strengthens the container, and I highly recommend doing this if you can, is we schedule out all of our sessions ahead of time. Now, when I take on private clients, I may work with them for 6 months at a time, 12 months at a time. So it's a large amount of time, but what we do is they schedule out, whether it's the 6 months, the 12 months, all of their sessions for the year or for the half year, however many they get, you know, in our contract. And of course, you know, life happens. They may need to reschedule some of those sessions. I may need to reschedule some of those sessions. That's easy peasy. But the reason why I like to do this and the reason why it helps create a tighter container is because then it's like you've got this matrix holding you. You know, the client knows and you know when you're going to meet again, right? You know when you're meeting throughout your time together. It's held like a matrix in a way. I hear from too many practitioners that, you know, maybe sign clients on for X amount of sessions, that they schedule session to session, and what can oftentimes happen is a client will just fall off the face of the earth, either forever and, you know, or for a while. That's because it's too loose of a container with the scheduling, right? So you want to think about how are you scheduling. Here's two other ways that I want to talk about in terms of container setting that I find are really important. So the other is I want to invite you to think about each of your client sessions as a container unto itself. So think about each of the client sessions as a container unto itself. Again, that strong cup to help create the transformation of the energy. And the way to, one of the ways, you know, in addition to all the things that we've been talking about, to create strong containers in your sessions is to do the following. Number one, I really like to have a pre-call form before my one-on-one session. So it's easy. It doesn't have to take a lot of time for your client to fill out, but it has, and I'll share the sample, a sample one with you, but it has questions like, what would you like to celebrate since our last session? You know, what are some good things that happened? It has questions like, what have you been learning? What's been really marinating for you? What's been evolving since our last session? It can have questions like, you know, what are some issues that have come up since we last spoke? And then it can have a question around, what is it that you would like to really receive from the session? And I will also tailor this to particular clients and add, you know, specific questions based on what they need. You know, a lot of times if I'm working with people on marketing, I'll ask marketing questions in there. What marketing have you done since we last spoke? Or, you know, things like that. But having that pre-call form does a couple of things for the container. Number one, it gives your client an opportunity to do pre-work, right, to actually start doing the work of the session before they get to the session. And not only does that help by way of that they're starting to do the work, but then they're more invested to come to the session, to be fully present for the session. You know, they're getting clear on what they want to receive and what it's going to be like. So that's a really big piece. What I also find is it helps me as a practitioner greatly see what's been going on with my client since we last spoke. So that's one way to set a stronger container for your sessions. The other thing that I like to do is at the beginning, and I highly recommend this for most people on the call. Again, for those of you that are therapists, you may or may not want to do this. But I always start every session with asking my client, what is it that you would like to receive from our time together today? Let's get, you know, so that they have some clarity. Now, that may change, right, throughout the course of the session. Different threads, pieces may come up. But what I find is that for coaching in particular, if you and your client are not on the same page on what they want to receive from the session, if you don't ask that question, well, first of all, your client may not know, and then you kind of drift in the conversation for a while, you can end up wasting a lot of time meandering in ways that don't help for breakthroughs. But number two, you don't want to make any assumptions about what the client wants and needs from that session. So clarifying it is actually so helpful on so many levels, and it helps strengthen that container. And then the last piece is, just like I like to start the call with the setting of the container, you know, what is it that you would like to receive? When I end sessions, I never end without asking the question of what are you taking away from our time together today, or what are you receiving, or before we wrap today, tell me like the biggest thing that you're really taking for yourself. I always ask a takeaway question, and what that does is it helps the client integrate, right? They're obviously not going to mention all the things that they've received. Hopefully it's a lot. But it creates a moment of integration of all the different strands and threads that have come through the call. It helps to create closure for the call, closing that container. And then, of course, it also helps me, the practitioner, track, right, that the client is receiving what I thought they received from the call. So I want to invite you to start thinking about this for your client sessions, and for those of you that are going to do partner coaching, this is one of the things I want you to do in your partner coaching sessions, is start the sessions with what is it that you would like to receive and end the session with what are you taking away. I'll do a Facebook Live in our group, by the way, if not today, then tomorrow, on how to move through the coaching partner sessions. I'll give you step-by-step instruction on that. All right, last piece on containers is an important one. I just want to make sure that I mention it. So just like every coaching session, you want to think of it as its own container. You also want to think about the entire cycle that you're going through with your client as its own container. So I highly recommend not doing one-off sessions, but to have clients commit, you know, for X amount of sessions over X amount of time, it really helps their growth. Because, again, it's a container, right? It's a bigger container to do the work, and they know that they're going to be held for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, 12 months, right? However long it is. And so you want to think about that whole engagement, that whole cycle as a container on its own. And when you do that, then you can also put some things in place. So number one, right, that contract that I was talking about, the setting of the agreements, of the ground rules. But number two, when you think of it this way, again, just like there's in the single, you know, when you're session by session setting a container, you want to start by setting intentions. You want to have a kickoff call for a series, or a kickoff session for a series of sessions, right? And in that kickoff call, you're setting intentions for the entire cycle. You know, what is it that you want to receive over this 6 months together? What are the patterns that we want to look at? What are, right, like different questions like that that help really set the container. And then you also want to think about the last session in the container as a closing session for takeaways throughout the entire cycle, for, you know, integration. All right, let me pause there. There's obviously a lot more we can take a look at when it comes to containers, but I wanted to give you guys the idea because they really are so vital to transformation and to creating breakthroughs. And let me just ask, are there any questions on this topic of containers? And or I'd love to hear from at least one of you what you're really seeing for yourself around this topic of containers. So star 2 to raise your hand. What questions can I answer for you on this? And also, what are you really taking for yourself from this discussion of containers? We're a small group. I'd love to hear from at least one of you, at least what you're taking. Again, right, that's part of the container setting, the takeaway. So let me know, just so I can track you. What are you seeing for yourself that feels important here? Anyone want to share star 2? Also, if you're confused, let me know too so I can help you. Okay, here we go. Who is this? Your name isn't coming up.
Hey, it's Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hello. Yes, I think I show is like secret on the back end.
Yeah, you do. It says anonymous.
I'm
very
incognito.
Mysterious.
Yes. Incognito. I like the pre-scheduling thing because, you know, I definitely do, for the most part, I'll try to do like the opening and the closing and some of the other stuff. But the pre-scheduling, I tend to be a little, we'll just schedule as we go type thing. And then often people will hang on to their last session.
Yes, becomes a problem with payment and all that, right? Because, like, you've finished being paid, but you still owe people sessions, right?
Yeah.
I know that sometimes it can be, I don't know if this is, you can tell me if this comes up for you, but I know sometimes for people it can be a little scary to schedule all of the sessions in advance because we think, oh, the client isn't going to want to do that. It's going to be a bother or this or that. But if you're up for it, I'd love for you to experiment with it because I think you'll see a difference right away. And I'm sure your clients are coming like fully ready and present and engaged and knowing they're getting value and all of that, but I bet you'll even see an uptick in that if you set the sessions ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do that.
Awesome. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let us know how it goes. All right, let's continue on. I still got a lot to share with you today. And, of course, any other questions or takeaways on containers, please let me know. And I'll, like I said, I will share with you the pre-call form and a little bit, maybe I'll also share with you a little bit what to do on a kickoff call, too, in the Facebook group. All right, so now let's start to step into listening skills. We're going to be looking at listening skills for a couple of calls, for actually this call and then the next two calls. And the reason why we spend 3 sessions on deep listening skills is because this is another foundational key to being able to create breakthroughs. It's so important. I'll get into it in a moment. And then I'll also say listening skills, not enough entrepreneurs use their listening skills for their marketing. And so it's a key to more masterful and effective marketing. So today we're going to be looking at the foundational principles of listening, and then on the next call, we're going to be looking at different listening tools and listening filters, and then what to actually listen for in your sessions. So, like I mentioned last week, for our call today, at the outset, a lot of what I share might seem so simple and so obvious, because all of you are smarty pants and experienced and all of that. But it's only when we really pay attention and get into more of the nuances of the principles that I'm going to be sharing today that even more masterful listening can happen and pave the way for breakthroughs. So speaking of listening, my invitation is for you to listen to this call with fresh ears, even if you are highly, highly seasoned. Listen with fresh ears so that you can go even deeper with your listening skills. So after the energetics of the coaching relationship, which we looked at last week, I really believe listening skills to be the next most important skill for breakthroughs and results and transformation, because everything that we do, not just in coaching, but whatever your modality is, whatever it is that you practice, but you know, I'll just speak for coaching in particular, everything that we do, from questioning to acknowledging to strategizing to visioning to creating accountability to working with shadow to befriending fears, you know, any of the fancy stuff, all of it is predicated on what we have heard from our clients. We need to be able to really listen in order to do anything else as a coach or practitioner. So first let me ask you this. Think about your client relationships or the relationships in your life. How well do you listen? How well do you really hear the other person's truth, the other person's belief, the other person's experience, the other person's understandings, and the perspectives behind the words that they say? How well do you hear even what the speaker, him or herself, doesn't even realize that they're saying or realize about themselves? So this is what we're really going for with masterful listening skills. When we can listen masterfully, then we, like I said, we really can catalyze those breakthroughs. So there are a couple of principles that I want to look at today that I want you to be aware of in order to go deeper with your listening. The first is everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. Everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. It doesn't matter what work you do. It doesn't matter who your ideal clients are. It doesn't matter what types of results you're in the business of creating. If you're going to coach someone or mentor them or teach them or shepherd them towards any kind of goal or growth, you must always remember that everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. Even somebody who at the outset doesn't seem to want this, I promise you in their core, this is what they want, to be seen, heard, and loved. When an individual feels seen, heard, and loved, they feel validated. They feel more confident. They feel more accepting of themselves. They feel more courageous. They feel more valued. They feel more willing and able. Of course, we all know this, and yet it can sometimes be forgotten in the coaching context because we get so focused on wanting to help our clients get their goals done, or we get so focused on trying to be successful and do a good job as coaches. So we maybe bowl over a concern that a client is having, or maybe we don't hear between the lines, or we overlook a particular frame of mind that the client is in, or we forget to acknowledge the growth that they've made, instead look towards what still needs to be done right away. And when we do that, when we focus just solely on the goal, in essence, we stop listening. And when we stop listening, we've detracted from the mutual trust and respect of the coaching relationship. Now, what gets in the way of creating an environment where our clients feel seen, heard, and loved by us? Well, it's usually 100% related to the unequal playing fields that we spoke about last week. If you're really focused on your own flaws in the relationship, it's going to be really hard to see and hear your clients. If you're really focused on your client's flaws, it's also going to be really hard to see and hear them. And, you know, I'll just give a personal, not a professional example, but just because this one is really fresh in my mind, but I think it's a good example, and you can apply it to client work. You know, over this last week, I had a family emergency, and with my parents, and I had to fly to New Jersey, and I was in a conversation with my sister, many conversations with my sister, and what happened was I was not really hearing her, because I was just seeing all the ways where she wasn't maybe going to be able to show up for the situation in the ways that she could. And because of that, I wasn't seeing where she was struggling. I ceased to be able to see her, to hear her, because I was focusing on her flaws and what she wasn't able to do, right? So, of course, it's oftentimes more extreme in personal relationships because we have maybe deeper expectations of people. We can see their flaws more, right? But how often does that maybe happen in our client relationships? So I want to ask you this, and again, no judgment. This is just so that you can start becoming more aware. Think about your client relationships, but also you can think about all of your relationships. And that can be personal, that can be with your team, right? Whatever it is. How well are you doing at helping others feel seen, heard, and loved? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how well are you helping others feel seen, heard, and loved? I know for myself, I'm really masterful at doing this with clients. But maybe not so much with my team. That's something that I'm always working on, right? But even with think about in your marketing, right? How well on a scale of 1 to 10 are you doing at helping people in your community? I don't mean single person by single person, although it can be that way in enrollment conversations, but even as a whole, right? Really helping them see that you see, hear them, love them. And then back to those one-on-one relationships with clients, what stops you from being a wholehearted 10 in this area? What holds you back from being able to fully, fully see, hear, and love others? All right, let's turn this one on its head for a moment. What I've sometimes observed for practitioners is that at times our own need to be seen, heard, and loved can get in the way of us being able to see, hear, and love our clients. I'm going to say that one again. Sometimes our own need to be seen, heard, and loved by our clients gets in our way of being able to do this for our clients, to see, hear, and love them. So just take a moment and think about, has this one ever shown up for you? That your own need to be seen, heard, and loved has actually gotten in the way. Sometimes this can show up just as one example of, you know, maybe you've made a suggestion to a client that you thought was really great and they're not going for it, and maybe you're not feeling fully seen in that moment, right? It can be hard for the rest of the conversation to really hear the client. Now, if you're equalizing the playing field like we spoke about last week, it's much easier to do that. All right. Let me pause on this one. Any questions on everyone wants to feel seen, heard, and loved, or any comments or takeaways? Start to. questions or anything you're seeing for yourself. You guys are a quiet group. here we go. Belinda.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I just really appreciate what you just said, and I think what's important is, as a therapist or practitioner, you need to have the support in your personal life where you do feel seen, heard, and loved. So you don't need to get that from your clients.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. It is so important, right? Because everybody, when I say everybody needs to feel seen, heard, and loved, us as practitioners, we actually do have that need ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we're not getting that from appropriate places, from our own practitioners or people in our lives, without even realizing it, it can seep, that need can seep into the client relationship, and then it becomes a leaky container and the energetics get off. So I'm so happy that you're bringing that forward. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good. And Zhao.
Joe.
Am I pronouncing your name the right way?
Yeah. You know who I am, right?
Yes, I do. I'm so happy you're here. Yay.
How's John? Small world.
I know.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. Because also, you know, Elizabeth, and I know Elizabeth, too. Even before she was Elizabeth. There's this, I find it's really in a I don't know if it's a thin line, but, you know, my patients, when they come, they're looking to me, right, for guidance and authority. And so at the same time, I'm teaching them, like, to empower them to learn about themselves. And there's this, I find, a need to kind of maintain not distance, but a certain level of professionalism, which, you know, would I go like, oh yeah, me too. I always eat chocolate cake or some, like it would, there's a point where, you know, when we say leveling the playing field in terms of how do you maintain that if someone's coming to you because you're going to help them, that to have that, I guess that, because they're relying on you, right? to hold the space for them, and you've walked the path or, you know, have that experience to help them. So when I say to kind of also maintain, I would say the authority there of, you know, what I'm doing, I guess can also morph into needing to establish what I know, but not dictate to somebody that they don't know. You know, am I clear?
I think let me share reflect what I'm hearing and tell you if I'm hearing it the right way. What I'm hearing is sometimes where you are kind of like doing a little bit of a balancing act or not totally sure, is that you want to, like you say, maintain your authority so that they can trust in what you're saying, while at the same time, if it's too much, it may feel like they're not feeling seen, heard, and loved because you're a little bit kind of distant.
There's also that kind of, you know, when someone, let's say, is always like, oh, can I change my appointment? Can I change my appointment? Can I change? So then suddenly you lose control over the dynamic. So there's an aspect of creating, like, that container is also your managing it, you know, allowing a lot of flexibility. But then there's this part where it erodes.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm so glad you're bringing this forward. There's a couple of really important pieces in here. So first of all, there's a difference between helping clients feel seen, heard, and loved and twisting yourself into a pretzel with things like scheduling or rescheduling. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why the protocols that I was talking about earlier are so important. Mm-hmm. Are you clear when clients come in or patients come in, are you clear on what the rescheduling protocol is and kind of what the boundaries on that are?
Yes. Yes, I have, yeah, it's the 24-hour cancellation. They have a reminder 26 hours in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So they get text so that they can be within that window.
Yep. Great.
And,
yeah, well, and I, what I would
so
say
no one
is,
can say. Yeah.
Yeah, so what I would say is if people are, like, constantly rescheduling,
uh-huh.
there's a couple of things that you can do there to help tighten the container. Two things, really.
Mm-hmm.
One is you can add a protocol in place around how many times a particular session can be rescheduled,
mm-hmm.
which may sound, you know, a little extreme, but if it's happening to you a lot, it sounds like you need the boundary there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way you can do it. Another way you can do it is to send out an email to all of your clients or, you know, the offenders of this.
Right.
But you can make it seem like you're sending it out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, you know, it's so important. Your health and your well-being and the work that we're doing together is so vitally important to me. And I know from experience that one of the ways that we can partner together to be most effective for your health and well-being is to not reschedule sessions too many times, because then there's too much of a lag in between the time that we see each other. I lately have been a little lax on this, and I want to apologize for that, and I want you to know that moving forward, of course I understand if you need to reschedule, but so that I can give you the utmost best care, and so also that I can maintain a schedule that can really serve you best. My request is no more than two reschedules or, you know,
right.
something like that.
Yeah. There's usually just, it really is like a couple of, like they, and I've known this person for years. There's one that is
so it may
consistently
require...
like the late thing. And then there's the,
yep.
the one that makes the appointment, but then it's like, oh, well, something else came up and can I move it around? And,
so,
and yeah.
Now, what I want to really, this is like my coach's request for you,
because
mm-hmm. I think it's going to be so helpful, is I want you to have an honest conversation with that person
mm-hmm.
about what you sense the impact is on their well-being and the
mm-hmm.
work that you're doing together because of the lateness or the rescheduling,
right.
Work together to create some new agreements. You know, and again, say, like, I want to take responsibility here. I've allowed
totally.
It, you know, but I really want what's best for you. And I want us to have a nice, tight container here so that you can really achieve the results that you want. And so here's what I'd like to request. How do you feel about it? Right?
Yeah.
So I think that would be a great next place for you to go.
Right. Okay. I mean, I can do that with them to make it. Yeah, so patients, they actually, when they work with me in like a kind of series program, they do sign a contract.
Okay.
I think that what gets missing in that is probably before I would have a separate page of like, you know, these are the, you know,
yeah.
the consent stuff.
I would say
also,
that. Yep,
yeah,
I would say that. And then in your first session, take 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
to review the important pieces so that they know
mm-hmm.
how to get the best care and work the best with you.
Right.
Yeah, that would be part of that kickoff session. It doesn't have to be a full session. It can be the
yeah,
first
yeah.
2 minutes, but getting clear there. Awesome. I'm glad you're bringing that forward.
Okay.
All right. Good. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, let's continue on. Still got a lot. For us to look at today. So let's look at the second deep listening principle, which is to be truly present in every moment. Now, again, I know this is another one that's super obvious, but I just wanted to like a little reminder, right? Be truly present in every moment. So what does that even mean? Well, it means to show up fully, to bring your full mind, attention, focus, heart, spirit, and soul to the session. It means to not allow distractions like technology or thoughts about the rest of your day or anxieties about your performance get in your way of fully showing up. Remember, we spoke last week about energy following energy. If you are fully present, your client is much more likely to show up fully present. If you're not fully present, your client is much more likely to not be fully present as well. And remember, presence yields breakthroughs. So let's think specifically about the distraction that we spoke about last week of feeling like you're not good enough or worrying that the session isn't going well enough, right? Let's just look at that as an example. So when that happens, you worry and you stress, and then you start to question yourself more. And then here's what happens next. When you as the coach are feeling off because you're questioning yourself, there's no way that you can also then remain fully present to your participants or your clients or your patients. That's because our human brains can't really multitask. We think we can multitask, but we actually can't. Our prefrontal cortexes actually won't allow it. And so when we're not present, we're nowhere near our best. You can't focus on your self-doubts while also focusing on your clients, right? So again, I know this is an obvious one. Of course you already know that you want to show up fully present for your clients or for your kids or for driving in the car, whatever it is. I know you know this, but just for yourself, for your own assessment, be honest with yourself for a moment. Where are the places that you distract yourself? And whatever those places are, and we all have them, right? Even me, right? I mean, we're all prone to this. Wherever you are distracted, then, you know, the next question is, what are you willing to do to set boundaries so that you can be present? And I'll offer up some boundaries that can really help with being present. So number one, if you want to take 3-4 minutes at the beginning of a client session to do a meditation, that's why I did it at the beginning of this call as an example for you all, right, to just have a couple minutes to get fully present. That can be really helpful for you and for your client. Or maybe you want to do a meditation at the start of your work day, and that will last you through the day. One of the things that I really like to do that helps bring me fully present and connected to my clients and, as I mentioned earlier, strengthen the containers at the beginning of every client, any day that I'm seeing clients, I think about each client that I'm going to be meeting with that day, and I send them love, and I send them energy, and I see us connected. Turn off distractions, right? Turn off your phone, your computer, your email, your social media. They can be so alluring, right? It's beyond our willpower with the technology. It's like a chemistry that happens in our brain. You probably all know this, but I won't get into it, right? But it's addictive, right? And so if it's on, we are more prone to check those things, especially if you're doing phone work as opposed to in-person work, right? So turn all of that off. Another thing that helps with being present is taking care of your body. I always make sure I go to the bathroom before calls because I'm a big peer. I make sure I have water next to me, right? I make sure I'm well fed. All of that helps with present. And then don't read any emails that you sense will trigger you right before a session, right? I am guilty of doing that in the past. Okay, next foundational principle for masterful and deep listening. Listen to yourself as well as your client. Listen to yourself as well as your client. So what does this mean? Well, traditionally, listening skills are taught as a one-way street. You listen to your client. End of story. But that's actually only half of how to really listen deeply. The other half is listening to yourself. So what does listening to yourself mean? Well, as you listen deeply to your client, what is it that you sense about your client? For example, do you sense that she's excited? Do you sense that she's speaking about something in a nice way, like a new goal in a nice way, but it's not really her own desire. It's just somebody else's expectations. Do you sense that she's not thinking as big as she's ready to? Do you sense that she's skimming the surface and not sharing all that's meant to be shared? Do you sense that there's a big emotion under the story that they're sharing, even though they're trying to be calm, right? So those are just some examples. I really see listening as a dance between listening to your client and listening to yourself. And a lot of people think that those two things need to be mutually exclusive. You can either only listen to a client or listen to another person or listen to yourself, but not both at the same time. And I really disagree with that. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. And in fact, when working, you know, when you're doing it well, they can work together so beautifully. And the way, again, like I think of it as a dance. So that dance is, you listen to your client and you listen deeply and you take in all that your client is saying. And then from there, listen in to your own internal wisdom response based on what your client is saying. So some people might call that internal wisdom response or listening to yourself, they might call it your intuition. I feel like all of us, whatever word we want to use for this, intuition, sense, hunches, internal wisdom, you know, whatever it is, I feel like we all have it in one way or another. So take a moment and note for yourself, how does your intuition give you guidance? How does it give you guidance when it's working really well? Maybe you can think of an example. A number of you who are in Catalyzing Breakthroughs, you were in person with me for a day here in Charlotte a few weeks back. I'll give you guys an example from that day. So that's when this whole month of me having some issues with my parents started, emergencies. And it was during that day that I just got a simple text from my father. And, you know, my mom had been in the hospital for a day or two, but we thought she was fine. And I just got this text from him saying, you know, she doesn't want to leave today, right? Because they were thinking of maybe discharging her. And I listened to that, right? I read it, but you can listen when you read things. And, you know, what I heard in my own head was, I know that she never wants to be at the hospital. You know, she always wants to leave. If she's saying that she wants to stay, there's something not quite right here. Right, and that's when I decided to fly out to New Jersey. Right, so again, personal example, but when done well, we're doing this with our clients all the time. We're listening to them, and then listening to our own intuition or hunches. The intuitions or the hunches are oftentimes really important when it comes to listening, when it comes to coaching, when it comes to catalyzing breakthroughs, but most practitioners don't actually listen or listen very well to themselves, to their intuition or their hunches. They oftentimes don't trust their own hunches because they were not taught to trust their intuition or their experience of the world. So just take a moment and assess for yourself, do you generally listen to your intuition or not when it comes to your clients? And whatever the answer is, how come? If you do listen to yourself, why is that? If you don't generally listen to yourself, why is that? So I have coaches that work for me on my team. They do client sessions, and after every client session, they fill out a report. The report is for me so that I can, you know what happened in the session, but it's also for them to go deeper with their coaching skills and all of their skills. And one of the questions I always ask them to fill out on that form is, what is your intuition telling you about this client or what this client needs next? What is your intuition telling you about this client or what this client needs next? If you want to deepen your skill of listening to yourself as well as your clients, this is a little homework assignment you can do after each of your client sessions, or you can even do this after interactions with a family member or a friend. Just sit down just for a minute and do some bullet points answering this question. What is my intuition telling me about this client, this person, right, and what they need next? So as an aside, since I'm mentioning this question, I'll just say another tool, if you want to go deeper with creating breakthroughs and transformation, a great tool to use is after every client session to fill out a little bit of a form for yourself to assess the session. Definitely ask this question about your intuition. Ask what went, you know, do a couple bullet points on what went really well in the session, and then do a couple bullet points on, if I could go back, what would I do differently? Okay, so next principle, and this one goes along with listening to yourself as well as your client, but next principle for listening, it's so important, is to be curious. When you're curious, so much is possible, so much more is available to open up, and so much more creativity and creative solutions are available. So like I said, this goes hand in hand with listening to yourself. You listen to yourself, which will yield messages, wisdom, intuition, and you want to listen to that. And then from there, allow yourself to be curious based on what you heard from your client and what you heard from yourself. So in other words, while I want you to listen to yourself and your intuition, I also want you to know that your intuition isn't there to be the end-all, be-all, correct answer for your clients. Your intuition is there to open you up to be curious in the most potent and powerful places of what your client is sharing with you. And then that allows you to ask better questions. When your curiosity is activated, you don't take things that your client says for granted. So, for example, let's say you're working with a client. You know, I work a lot with clients on their businesses and marketing, right? And we may come, a certain idea for marketing may come up, and the client may say, oh, well, that hasn't worked before in the past. When you're not activating the principle of curiosity, you may take that at face value. But when you are being curious, you may, it will lead you to ask some questions, like, is that actually true that it hasn't worked before in the past? Or is that maybe like a half-truth and parts of it did work and parts of it didn't? Or how didn't it work? Or why didn't it work, right? Or here's another example. Let's say a client says, well, I just don't like to exercise. if you're activating your curiosity, that will lead you to maybe ask, well, you don't like any exercise or all exercise, you know, or what is that about? When did that start, right? Or here's just one more example. Again, this one comes up a lot. For me, you know, people will say, well, I want to create a seven-figure business, right? And a lot of business coaches just take that at value, right? This client wants to create a seven-figure business, but I don't. Because a seven-figure business actually isn't aligned for everyone. It's actually not what they need. So I'll ask my clients, well, what does that mean to you? What does a seven-figure business mean to you? Or why? You know, why is it important for you to create that? Sometimes people, it will still be that, yes, that's actually what they want, but other times through that curiosity, but because I was listening to them and then my intuition that's saying, well, maybe they don't want, you know, like, let's see here. It leads to them getting more clear on what they actually want. And then we can create way more aligned goals. Now, curiosity is actually a skill that can be way more challenging than it seems. All of us are born with the skill innately, the skill of curiosity, but unfortunately, most of us actually lost that skill along the way because of life, because of people telling us otherwise. For example, when we're young, we're open, we're curious, we're interested in everything. We walk outside and we're interested in the flowers and the trees, right? I see this in my young daughter. But, you know, that's our maiden, for those of us that are women, that's our maiden selves, right? Open and curious. But our maiden can get buried under history. Maybe she was told that curiosity killed the cat. Or maybe she was told that her curiosity was problematic for the family, or that it made her too precocious, or that it made her different from everybody else in the family, or maybe she was told that there wasn't time for curiosity, or that it wasn't practical enough. How often do we do this, not just with our clients, where we cut off our curiosity, but even in our own lives or our own businesses? Take just a moment to reflect on this. How often do you block off curiosity in your own life and then along with it, possibilities for yourself, just because you're taking things at face value or for granted in your life? So, for example, you know, maybe you're saying you really want to work fewer hours, right? But you just say to yourself, I can't. It's just not possible, right? Without having true curiosity there. Maybe, and this happened to me years ago, I was getting constant respiratory infections all the time, right? And I wasn't activating my curiosity. I was just, it was cut off. I was just saying, oh, this is my system. This is, you know, how my system works, right? When I finally applied curiosity there, that's when I was able to get over those constant respiratory infections. So how often do you do this with yourself, with your clients? When and how did your younger self lose some of their curiosity? What happened along the way to give your younger self the message to not be curious? Take a moment and just consider that one for yourself. Jot down just whatever comes to mind. What did you learn from your parents about, or not learn from your parents about being curious? So where did you lose some of that curiosity? And then write down one thing in your life that you've maybe, or your business, that you've maybe become jaded about. you've ceased to have curiosity about it, and because of it, you might be stuck. Maybe it's, you know, I'm just not good on video, right, for your business. Or it doesn't matter what I do, clients are always going to show up late. What's one place where you've maybe become a little jaded and stopped being curious, and it's really cutting off opportunity for you? And last question on this piece. Think about your clients. If you're working with clients, what's one client place with one particular client where maybe you've become jaded and you've stopped being curious? And it is possibly cutting off opportunity for the client because you're just taking something at face value. The best way to cultivate curiosity is to practice it in your own life. So to take a look at what are the things in your life that you just take as a given, that you're no longer approaching with curiosity, with openness, or with room for new ideas or solutions, and to start questioning them, to start looking more closely at them. Another way to cultivate curiosity, and this is one of my favorite things to do, is I like to go on curiosity walks. They don't have to be very long. I'll go outside for 5 or 10 minutes, walk around my block, and the sole purpose is to activate my curiosity. And so, you know, and again, this is related to being fully present and all the things, right? And I'll just walk and I'll look for things that I haven't seen before. Maybe it's a crack in the sidewalk. Maybe it's a particular beautiful tree. Or I'll look at just the beauty of the way certain branches are on trees, or the beauty of shadows that fall, or a new color paint on a house, or, you know, whatever it is. The idea, again, is just to build that curiosity muscle for a few minutes. You can do it in your room, too, right? Just take a look at your room right now, wherever you're sitting, wherever you are. What's a detail that you maybe didn't notice before? Like, right now, just the light is falling so beautifully onto one of the walls. I'm also noticing that my daughter has left some markers in a corner, right? But just taking that time to look and be curious. All right, I'd love to hear in the Facebook group any takeaways on this topic or the listening to yourself as well as your clients. But I want to make sure we get to one more foundational principle before we wrap for today. So I'm going to keep on going, and then I'll open up for questions and takeaways at the end, and I'll give you homework. But here's the last principle, listening principle for today, really important one. Listen for the who, because you always want to coach the what based on the who. I'm going to say that again, and then I'll explain what that means. Listen for the who, because you always want to coach the what based on the who. This is vital for catalyzing breakthroughs and for good practitioner skills, creating transformation, all of that. What can oftentimes happen for practitioners is that we're coaching or supporting the what, whatever the situation that the client is bringing forward, without taking the who the client is, into consideration. When we do this, we are not listening deeply and we are not gathering all of the information that is needed to ask the right questions, to strategize correctly, all of the things. We see this a lot, right, in the old medical model, and it applies here in coaching too. What I mean by that is, you know, the old medical model, or I shouldn't even say old because it's still very current, is that, you know, if somebody has a sore throat and a runny nose, then everybody gets the same treatment, right? That's not coaching or treating the what based on the who. That's treating the who based on the what. In Chinese medicine, in less allopathic medical models, the who is taken into consideration with just the throat, right? Like the whole picture is taken into consideration and much more targeted solutions can be created. The same when you're coaching. So let me give you an example or two on this. I'll give you an example from my own work. So a lot of times when I work with clients, one of the things that we'll take a look at is schedule, because entrepreneurs are always juggling a lot, and one of my intentions is to create as much space as I can for my clients, right, if they want that. Most all of them do. So when I'm working with a client to create an ideal schedule for their marketing or for their business, I'm going to treat someone who is a mother of three, I'm going to treat looking at their schedule very differently than I'm going to treat looking at the schedule of a single person whose parents are healthy and pets are healthy, you know, like that don't have those added responsibilities. How I approach the what is always going to be based on listening for the who. Now, I want to just share a little detail on this. It's a big mistake that I see most coaches and practitioners make, particularly coaches. So, and it's related to coaching the what based on the who. When a new client starts working with you, and they'll have a lot of goals, right, depending on whatever area you're working on them with, their health, their relationships, their business, their, you know, whatever it is, their home, they're going to have a lot of goals. A big mistake that coaches make is that they assume, because they're not taking the who into consideration, just the what, they assume that when they start working with a new client, that client is ready to take action on their goals, that client is ready and raring to go, that client, you know, I'm a student of the season, so, you know, the way I describe it is that client is in the summer, right, when we're taking actions, moving quickly, doing all the things. But the truth is that really only half of the new clients that you're going to work with, usually most of the time less than 50%, are going to start in a summer phase. A lot of the time, new clients actually are in what I like to call an autumn phase or a winter phase. And what that means is they've got some clearing out that they need to do first, or they have some releasing that they need to do first, or they have some grieving that they need to do first, or they have some fears or shadows that they need to face first before taking the action of, you know, the spring and the summer and all of the outer movement, right? There's so much growth. We all know that a lot of growth happens in the spring and the summer, but even more growth actually happens underground in the autumn and the winter. It's just that we don't see it. It's in the roots, right? So just take note for yourself when you first start working with someone, are you just applying, like everybody is starting in the same kind of place, or are you really looking for the who? Okay. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, how do I listen for the who? We're going to cover that in our next class, I promise you. All right. So take a moment and think about all that we looked at today. We covered a lot. What is a takeaway? What's one of your most important takeaways or two top takeaways from our time together today? Back to that container, right? Container setting and then container closing and doing it here too. What's a takeaway? I think we'll have a few minutes after I give you your homework to hear takeaways as well as any questions. But also, I really want to encourage you again to share your takeaways in the Facebook group. It will help you solidify and integrate what you're learning. Other people will learn from your takeaways, and also I'll comment on them. And if I see that you can go deeper, I'll help you go deeper with them, with my comments or questions. Journal, I'll give you journaling homework, whatever it is. All right, then in terms of homework for this week, you're going to get a worksheet to go deeper with all of the concepts that we looked at today. So that's number one. Number two, if you want to start asking that question of what is my intuition telling me about this client or what they need next, you know, after your client sessions, I highly recommend doing that. Or that full kind of tracking assessment that I described. And I'll share an example of that in your member center. And then for those of you that are going to be working with coaching partners, again, I'll do a Facebook Live. It'll be short, but just on exactly how to move through those calls. But if you're going to do a partner call this week, again, I just want you to set the container. You start by asking, what is it from our time together. Make sure at the end you ask for takeaway. Do whatever you want in the middle. We're going to get to, as we continue in the training, we're going to get to more of what to do in the middle. But afterwards, when you kind of analyze and get feedback from your coaching partner, look at each of the principles that we spoke about today. And last week, you know, assess for yourself, were you equalizing the playing field during that session? Were you really listening in a way where your client could feel seen, heard, and loved? Were you listening to yourself as well as your client, right? Like all the things, so you guys can discuss all that. Okay, we have a few minutes left. I'd love to hear takeaways or any questions from our call today. Star 2. Anybody have any questions or want to share a takeaway before we wrap for today? All right, then I'll trust we're complete. Oh, we do have one. Great. Ciao. Uh-oh.
And
oh, there you are. Good.
Just recently, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So even with one of my patients who was coming for fertility, and I heard everything, and I was like, okay, this is what we need to do. And she's got other resistance that's going on, and so it was I was listening to everything that she was saying, and why is she here? But then I noticed, you know, that there's this other deeper stuff that's kind of there. And so it's interesting because, you know, when I look at everything that that person needs and they're showing up, they've decided they're going to try Chinese medicine, that I tend to kind of be like, okay, so they have already undergone their, you know, their decision in a way,
yeah,
to try something new. And what you said about, you know, kind of grieving or facing, you know, their shadows. And I work with that too. It just some people take so much longer to get through that, or even to admit that that's what's going on.
100% I'm so glad you're bringing this up. So for, you know, for anything, you know, this thing that I was talking about, the seasons and knowing where someone is starting, it's so important. And, you know, in fertility, I know that that can often be the case where first things need to be grieved or beliefs need to be cleared out or deeper communication needs to happen with partner, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you're the kind of practitioner that is paying attention to that and not just rushing to the Chinese medicine part of it or the herbs or, you know, whatever it is.
That's for later on.
But really they do need to do that autumn and winter work first.
Yeah.
So that's such a great example for us on the application of that foundational principle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the call today. Please share your takeaways, and I will see you all next week. I'll see you in the Facebook group, but voice to voice, I'll see you all next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.